Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. If you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me, into the book of, to the gospel record of Matthew, Matthew chapter 24, We're in a Sunday school series right now dealing with the King is coming, dealing with the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we're trying to do is set things in order, give people a quick little overview of things yet to come. We've already been talking a little bit about the prep work, the reality that Jesus Christ is coming. We talked about that the church, or those who are saved and those who are not saved, are not at the same judgment. They'll be at separate judgments, which is a big deal. So many people think that when they die, everyone's going to stand before God, and God is going to weigh their good works against their bad. And if their good works are somehow outweigh their bad works, they'll be able to slide right into heaven. But that all changes when you realize that there are two separate judgments, one for the saved and one for the lost, and that those who do not know Christ as their Savior and been forgiven of their sins, the Bible says that they're condemned already. We spoke about the rapture and the reality of God calling his people away, and that the tribulation, which is this period of 7 years after this, where God is dealing with the Hebrew people, is going to be starting with no saved people as God is working within the earth. So now we want to ask the question a little bit more specifically, what happens during the Great Tribulation? What happens during this Great Tribulation? If you don't mind, let's just read a little bit of what Jesus said in the Gospel record of Matthew chapter 24. The Gospel record of Matthew chapter 24, and notice with me starting at verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another, and shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what should be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and the kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. And because of the iniquity abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains, and let him that is on the housetop come down, not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field turn back to his take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray that you enter your flight not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall the great tribulation, such as not shall be since the beginning of the world to this day, nor shall ever be. And notice that phrase that we find in the book of Matthew 24 and verse 21, where it talks about great tribulation, great tribulation. And with this, I'd like to kind of explain what happens in the tribulation. Now, I gave a handout, which is what I use for several of the classes that we teach here. And what we're going to do is we're going to quickly kind of walk through this handout and try to set things in order according to the entire Bible. Now, we're not going to trace all of these things down. I've done that for you in this chart. But in the time that we have, I just want to give a quick overview and give you a timeline of the end time events. Now, with this, we start at the Old Testament. The main purpose of the Old Testament is that God desired to see the Hebrew people be used to reach the world and to bring people to himself. He had desired to create a people, and that this people would be the example of God's holiness, of God's grace, and that the Gentile people would see a people that respond to God, and they would come to him. Unfortunately, they did not live to what they were expected to do. In fact, they turned to other gods and became a horrible testimony. God set those people aside for a time in what we would call a parenthetical period in between the 7 weeks of Daniel, which we covered in a whole lecture some other time. But we're now in a parenthetical phrase where God is no longer specifically dealing with the Hebrew people, but God is reaching out to the Gentile people to show them Christ so that they could come to know Christ as their Savior. And during this time, God has given the responsibility to the local church to reach the world with the gospel. Now, this church age had a definite beginning with Christ and his disciples, and it will have a definite end with the rapture. What happens during the rapture is God is going to have the calling away. That is what the word rapture means, the calling away. And everyone who has accepted Christ as their Savior has the Holy Spirit living inside of them. When God removes the Holy Spirit, he's also taking all of us out with him. And that the end times of the tribulation is going to begin with no saved people. So the rapture is going to be a major event that everyone is going to be taken away. And if you could imagine that during this event, there's going to be a lot of chaos because the world is going to have millions of people just disappear and they're going to have to explain it. Now, my personal opinion of how they're going to explain it is aliens. My personal opinion. I mean, how can you explain where millions of people disappeared to? I mean, you can't look for them. How did they disappear? I mean, there were two people there, and then you turn around, and one's gone. Their clothes are there. What happened? What happened? Two people laying in bed, and one turns over, and one's gone. What happened? What happened? So it wasn't like men with suits and sunglasses went and stole everybody. How did everybody disappear? And that's going to be cause a big panic. Now, during that time, with a lot of people panicking, we believe that there's people with big red buttons that are going to push them in their panic. It is my personal opinion that America will be destroyed immediately after. Now, we've covered a whole lecture with PowerPoint dealing with America destroyed. You can go back and listen to that for the details. But America will be wiped off the map. America is not concerned with in prophecy. Most of the prophecy is going to concern upon Europe. Well, with this, America wiped off, millions of people disappeared. They're going to be looking for answers. And it is during this time that a man called the Antichrist is going to rise up. We're going to have a further lecture on him eventually where we talk about him in detail. But the Bible speaks about that this is going to be someone from Europe. They're going to stand up and they're going to be the answers to the problems of the world. They're going to be heralded as a great man of peace, that he is going to solve all these problems. Hey, you want to solve this homeless problem? Well, guess what? We have millions of houses that are now abandoned. Why don't we use this to homeless? Hey, we have a transportation problem where people don't have enough transportation. Well, guess what? We've got enough vehicles now that have been abandoned. Why don't we use those? And so he's going to seem as a great problem solver. In fact, he's going to solve the problem of the missing people. We need to find out where they went. So how about this? We give everyone a nice little microchip, and it's going to be able to trace where you're at. So if you disappear, we will be able to track where you're at no matter where you go. Now, we've learned in the last couple of years that when people are afraid, they're willing to follow anything the government tells them to do. And there's going to be a lot of fear. And when people are trying to say, here's what we could do to keep you safe, people are going to willingly take this. And he is going to be the problem solver. He's going to have the answers to all kinds of things. In fact, he is also going to have the problem for an age-old problem called the Middle East. The Middle East has always been a hotbed. Even today, we could look and see that there's problems in the Middle East. Always problems. Well, as we know that the Antichrist is going to set up a one-world religion, there are two groups that are currently present tense with us that are very much opposed to a one-world religion. That is born-again Bible believers. Well, they're going to be taken out of the equation during the rapture. The other group that will be fundamentally, diametrically opposed to a one-world religion would be the Muslims. The Muslims believe that there is one God, and that is Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. They refuse to share ground religion with anyone. They will not compromise. So what's going to happen is that when America is gone, the big brother of Israel, so Israel is still protected to this day because those Muslim countries do not want America to be involved. When America is wiped off the table, guess what? There's no big brother. No one to protect Israel. So what's going to happen, according to the book of Ezekiel, is that the Russian Confederation will be put together. We know that they're even working on this now, trying to get the old countries back into Mother Russia. They're going to join with the Muslim Brotherhood, and they are going to fight against Israel and the Antichrist. And when an amazing thing happens in the book of Ezekiel, it and a couple of the other minor prophets, they explain that when all of these confederation of Russian and Muslims are going against Israel, they're going to bomb it off the map. They're going to destroy the Antichrist, this great hero of peace. And God's going to snap their fingers and all of those armies are going to be just gone. And now the Muslims are gone. Now, with the Muslims gone and the Christians gone, it is now set up to a one-world religion that the Antichrist is going to establish. Now, think about this. Today, we know that people are very much, they don't like religion. We need to coexist. And now the Antichrist is going to be the man of peace that puts all of the religions together. And now we'll have peace in religions. He's going to be heralded as a great man of peace, that he is solving the problems of the world. He is solving the problems and preventative measures if people disappear. He's solving the problems of the Middle East, and now the Muslims won't be there. He is going to make a peace agreement with the Hebrew people to rebuild their temple. Even today, the Hebrew people, that's their dream. They have warehouses today that is set up to rebuild their temple. They are just waiting to go. The only thing that keeps them from rebuilding their temple is that on the temple site is what is called the Dome of the Rock, a great Muslim shrine who they will not allow to tear down. Well, with the Muslims gone, well, there's no need for this Muslim shrine. They're going to bulldoze that thing, and they're going to start rebuilding the temple. The moment that the Antichrist signs a peace agreement with the Hebrew people, that's when the tribulation begins. So there is a small window between the rapture and the official beginning of the tribulation. It's not a big window, so much so that a lot of people put the tribulation at the very beginning of the rapture. We're not opposed to that, but there is a small little sliver window. But the peace agreement with between the Antichrist and the Hebrew people is the official starting place. Now, once that happens, the Bible begins to pour out what is called the judgments as the tribulation begins. Now, the main purpose of the tribulation is that God is trying to bring the Hebrew people back to himself. And so the church isn't needed. We're not there necessary. God is working with the Hebrew people in their circumstances in their lives to bring those people back to God's self. And so as the tribulation begins, the judgments begins. Revelation chapter 6 speaks about the seal judgments that are poured upon the earth. Revelation 8 and 9 speaks about the trumpet judgments, a set of judgments that are rained upon the world. Now, during this time, 144,000 Hebrew people, young people, the Bible calls them virgins. That means they're going to be young people, a teenage revival. They're going to get saved. They're going to accept Christ as their Savior. They're going to spread all over the world to preach the gospel and that Jesus was the Messiah after all. During this time, you're going to have two witnesses. Many people believe that they are historical Elijah and historical Moses, who for 3.5 years are going to be in Jerusalem preaching about Jesus. Well, the world is going to do everything they can to shut them up. So what they're going to do is that people were going to come and try to assassinate him. But every time they try to get assassinated, historical Elijah and historical Moses are going to rain down fire. They're going to bring back the plagues of Exodus. They're going to plague the people every time they try to get those two preachers to shut up. But one day, something's going to happen and they're going to be killed. They're going to be killed and they're going to be laid on the floor, on the ground of Jerusalem. No one's going to bother even to pick them up. And the whole world celebrates. Now remember, this is in our future. They're not wearing old clothes. They're modern day times. They're going to have CNN. We're definitely sure that CNN is going to survive from the tribulation. CNBC, even Fox News, they're all going to be there. We're live on location at Jerusalem. And an amazing thing, the whole world is going to watch. They're going to be giving presents out, and they're going to be celebrating that the ones who have been plaguing us are dead. And all of a sudden, their dead bodies on the 3.5 day are going to stand up. And they're going to ascend up to heaven, and there's going to be a great earthquake, and the whole world's going to go, what just happened? Well, the whole world is going to start to think, maybe there's something to these two witnesses. Now, remember, Satan is a good imitator. He has power, but he has limited power. He does not have power of life, nor does he have power of resurrection. But he's a good imitator. And so the Antichrist, who is going to be this worldwide hero, is going to be assassinated and killed. Satan, being a great imitator, is going to put the Antichrist on like a puppet. And Satan is going to be robed in flesh. And he's going to rise again. And now when he rises again, he seems to have great superpowers. And the world is going to go, never mind, this guy is real. There's something to him. Well, the Antichrist is going to come to the completed temple. The temple of Jerusalem will be rebuilt in 3.5 years. As the construction is finished, the raised up Antichrist is going to sit on the throne and he's going to declare himself to be God and that all the world needs to worship him. This is an event called the Abomination of Desolations. Notice with me Matthew 24 and verse 15. This phrase abomination and desolation is used in the Old Testament and it's used in the New Testament. It is something that is referred to often in the book of Daniel, in the gospel records, in the book of Revelation. This abomination of desolations is a very big event. The abomination of desolations refers to when the Antichrist sits on the throne and declares himself to be God. Well, the Jewish people then will realize that they had been lied to, that the Antichrist was not the Messiah, and they are going to flee and run. In fact, notice with me in verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whosoever readeth, let him understand. Now remember, Jesus wants us to understand what's going on. That's why the Bible's given us clear roadmap of what's occurring. Verse 16, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop come not down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him that is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall great tribulation, such as not since the beginning of the world to this time, no should ever be. So what happens? When the Jewish people reject the Antichrist is going to throw a rage and immediately put the greatest persecution upon the Hebrew people that this world has ever known. Now we can pause really quick. The Hebrew people have known quite a bit of persecution. All throughout history, you could see the Jewish people as the whipping boys of the world. whether it was the great plague of 1208, as this bubonic plague swept across Europe, killing one third to one half of the entire population of Europe. And because the Jewish people had followed biblical practices of cleansing, like washing their hands, very few of the Hebrew people were sick during that time. So all of the crazy Gentile nations of that time said, guess what? It must be the Hebrew people poisoning our wells. It must be the Jewish people's fault. And so they began to kill as many Jewish people as possible in retaliation for the bubonic plague. That was nice of them. Over and over in history, you could see these great persecutions. You could see these great things that would happen. Even when you get to what is in a World War II and the final solution of the Nazis, the Holocaust, where 6 million Jewish people were killed, and they were killed in horrible, horrible ways. Now, may I say that as bad as the Holocaust was, it was still not bad enough to drive the Jewish people to go and depend upon God. It still was not enough for them to accept Jesus as their Messiah. And so when the Bible says here that for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not seen of the beginning of the world to this time, nor shall ever be. That phrase is saying that the persecutions upon the Jewish people are going to be even worse than the Holocaust. No wonder this is called the time of Jacob's troubles. No wonder it is called the Great Tribulation. This is going to be a horrible time. And yet, it is during this time that more people, the Jewish people, are going to realize Jesus was the Messiah and they're going to turn to him. They're going to flee to Edom. We know now in that area of Jordan, they're going to go and they're going to go to the mountains where Petra is found. And they're going to hide in those caves. Now, it's just amazing that those caves there have so much mineral deposits that satellite cannot see them. It's almost like God knew what he was doing in the first place. And they're going to flee to this place and they're going to hide. Some people have already found out and believed scripture. They've already gone to those caves, and all throughout those caves, they put Bibles in Ziploc bags. So the Jewish people, when they fly there, run to flight, they're going to have Bibles already ready for them so they could go read. And when you're looking for answers and you open up the Bible, you're going to look for a book with your name on it, and they have the book of Hebrews. And the book of Hebrews takes the Old Testament and shows through the light of Jesus Christ, that Jesus was better than their sacrifices, better than Moses, better than Aaron, better than Joshua, better than the angels, that Jesus Christ is better. And they're going to come and accept Christ as their Savior during that time. Well, with this great persecution going on, we have in the second half of the book of Revelation, or the second half of the tribulation, we have the bowls of wrath found in Revelation 15 and 16. You're going to have then the destruction of the one world religion. What's going to happen is the Antichrist, who worked hard to build this one world religion, is going to get to the place where he says, no, everyone doesn't need to worship this generic God. Everyone needs to worship me. And he's going to destroy the one world religion and demand that the whole world worships him. During this time, you're going to have the Battle of Armageddon, which we'll have a whole lecture on later on. The Battle of Armageddon is actually found in the Valley of Megiddo. Napoleon Bonaparte, when he crossed that land, who was a master tactician in a battlegrounds, he said that the Valley of Megiddo, the Valley of Jezreel, the place where the Battle of Armageddon will place, he said it is the most perfect battleground of all of the world. Just interesting from someone who knows battlegrounds, he says that. Now, when all the world is going to gather together to kill the Jewish people and to try to stop Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ is going to come back from heaven, and we as the saints are coming back with him. And we're coming back as a mighty army, but we're a mighty army that will do absolutely nothing, because Jesus will just say a word and they're all going to be killed, anyone who was opposed to him. We have that in the parable of the sheep and the goats, and the parable of the wheat and the tares, that Jesus Christ is going to separate those who have trusted Christ as their Savior from those who did not accept Christ as their Savior. And God is going to do a great work and drawing them to himself. Now, again, the main purpose is to draw the Hebrew people to himself so that way they would realize that Jesus was their Messiah. Verse number 13 of Matthew 24, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. What is this phrase talking about? Does this mean that we have to be good people, good people, and we'll get saved? No, it's specifically talking about the Hebrew people, that all those Hebrew people have accepted Christ and lived through the tribulation, they're going to enter into the millennial kingdom in their natural bodies. And of course, we have lectures and things on that. But we were just covering a quick timeline of end events, just in a nutshell, so that way you could understand a little bit about the tribulation as we take a quick overview. Now, this will enter into the millennial kingdom. If you're interested more about the millennial kingdom, we just preached a whole series of 40 messages. You could find them online, and we'll be glad to be a help through you on that. But again, this tribulation period, as much as I was able to squeeze it in into 20 minutes, that's pretty amazing. As just a quick overview, hopefully it could give with an overview and knowing kind of the beats of it helps us to understand a little bit more about what will be occurring in that time. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.